I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I am reaching for the highest goal, that I might receive the prize. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way, 'cause I want. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. We want to to hear your voice, we want to know you more. We want to touch you, we want to see your face, we want to know you more. In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are here.
He leadeth me. O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort wrought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content, whatever I see, since 'tis Thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won. E'en death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I will us, he leadeth us by his own hand, he leadeth us. His faithful followers we would be, for by his hand he leadeth us. For by his hand.
Well, hey, everybody, it's good to be with you again today, this weekend. As always, whenever, wherever, however you are listening, good to be with you. A couple of things as we get started. First off, I want to give a shout out, a special thank you to Dan Kamek. Each week for the better part of the past 8 months, he has been recording a couple of songs to start out our weekly virtual services, sharing the gift and blessing of music. And so thank you, Dan. Your sharing is much appreciated and a very real gift to us. And with that, I also want to remind you, next weekend we will be gathering together, 10 a.m. Sunday morning, the 22nd. We will gather together. We'll send out an email this coming week on what to expect, but since I have your attention, we want to be safe. We want to keep everyone safe, and so masks will be required along with physical distancing, 6 feet. Temperature checks will be taken at the door. We won't be serving any coffee or food. We will gather together, though, to sing, to praise God, and we will share together. That will be next Sunday, the 22nd at 10 a.m., so looking forward to that. Being together, really, in what will be the first time in a long time, some 37 weeks, what amounts to about 8 months, and a lot has happened. Life is different. Life is very different, and with that, a heightened sense of uncertainty and wondering and worrying, which makes the words of Jesus, I think, recorded in Matthew 6 and verse 25, so to the point, so very precise, so distinct, and with that, so personal. Therefore, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Now, if you were with me last week, and you are welcome to go back and listen, it is on our website or through iTunes. But again, noting, Jesus opens that line with therefore, effectively linking together what he has just said, think last week, and connecting all of that to what is still up ahead, meaning verses 19 through 24, again, think last week, are intimately connected to our focus today, verses 25 to 34. And at the heart of last week was this kind of juxtaposition, right, between treasures on earth and treasures in heaven, followed by that Hebraic idiom and the eye being used as an expression for how we relate to others, right, the good eye, aka the healthy eye, in essence referring to the way of generosity, right, juxtaposed against the evil eye or the unhealthy eye, what is effectively the way of greed. And at the heart of that, Jesus says, in essence, don't store up for yourselves money, possessions, stuff here on earth. In other words, don't orient your life toward getting, but rather store up treasures in heaven, meaning orient your life toward giving. Live with a good eye, right? Be rich, not in possessions and stuff, but in good deeds. Live the way of generosity, this willingness to share. And then today, Jesus continues, he begins, therefore, meaning with all of that in mind, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Now, a couple of things here to note. And first, I mentioned last week, the word here translated worry is from the Greek merimnao. And we can think about something that is troubling us, that thing that we are maybe overly concerned with, we are burdened, right? Something that weighs heavy. Noting also in the Greek, it is not speaking here of a one-off. It is not speaking of isolated moments or episodes of worry or burden. We all have those moments where we feel troubled. But rather, this speaks of a pattern, an ongoing pattern or way of being, meaning do not live in a constant state of worry, a continuous condition of being troubled by. We could say, do not place your focus, do not center your attention, your heart and mind, thoughts and activity, do not marinate in marry him now. Right? Think less about someone gets hurt or the bank calls to say you have an overdraft or the car breaks down or you get a bad grade on that test. And yes, you are worried about that thing. Right? But think less about that and more about a persistent condition or a disposition, an attitude, an approach to life, an orientation. Think here of this worry as that which becomes all-consuming, kind of where life begins to, we could say, constrict under the pressure. And Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry, do not marry him now, do not meditate upon, do not focus on, do not carry this ongoing disposition, orientation, attitude. We could say, do not agonize about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Jesus says two things here. He says, do not worry, he says, about your life. And then he goes on and says, do not worry about your body. Life here, that can be translated as your soul. Think of the inner self or the life force, that part of you that makes you you. Body here carries the sense of the structure of an organism, of a person, and we can think of bones and ligaments and muscle and flesh and skin. And in that sense, then, we get this idea of the fullness of you, right? The very life force that makes you you and the body it inhabits, right? The entirety of the you that is you. And Jesus says, yeah, about all that, do not marry him now. Do not be preoccupied, do not ruminate, do not focus all your energy and effort on what you will eat or drink or on what you will wear, right? Don't be consumed by the stuff of this life, the stuff that surrounds you, and right? Do not be consumed by the stuff of this life. Life, Jesus says, is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. And then Jesus, he begins speaking of birds and flowers, and in essence, he creates for us this imagery, right? He gives us these word pictures. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And then verse 30, he kind of wraps that up. He says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Now, as with any imagery, as with any analogy, we have to be careful about reading too much into it, and so not to be dismissive of spending time digging around in the dirt here, but Jesus is really getting, I think, at one thing. He is not saying nothing bad ever happens to birds and flowers. He is not saying that everything in your life will be just rosy. He is not saying that we don't have to work or labor for anything. He is saying that worrying about all of that, marry him now, right? Being focused or preoccupied or consumed with what we will eat or drink or wear, it will not add a single thing to your life. In fact, if there's anything more that we can take from these word pictures, it is this. It is life is fragile, and that all we have is this moment. We could even say here today, gone tomorrow. We see this in Psalm 103, verse 15. The life of mortals, meaning you and me, is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. It is that sense that we get, jumping to verse 34, the last line, what the scholar France, R.T. France, calls an additional saying, but a wisdom that has surpassed the long days of millennia, and it's often a maxim in our contemporary world, right? Live one day at a time. All of which kind of begs the question, then, well, how shall we live? And Jesus, then, he repeats, he sums up his analogy, his word pictures, verse 31. So do not worry, again, marry him now, do not worry, do not be focused on, oriented toward, consumed with, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear, he says, for the pagans, and And that's not a pejorative here. That can be translated Gentiles or even as nations. It refers to those who are not Jews. Jesus says they run after all these things, right? Think food and drink and clothing. We could even tie in last week and think money, possession, stuff, right? They, Jesus says, run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But, which I don't know about you, but I need to hear that, because it's one thing to say, do not worry, which is for me like, okay, that's nice, don't worry. But then, well, what should I be doing? Well, Jesus speaks to that. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Which, like we saw last week, continues that contrast, right? That juxtaposition. And in fact, there's a bit of play on words here. In verse 32, we read, for the pagans, right? The Gentiles, the nations, epizeteo, translated run after. And then in verse 33, we read, but zeteo, which is translated seek first. Noting the word here, zeteo, comes to us in the present imperative, which brings the idea of a constant preoccupation. It carries this idea of be seeking and keep on seeking, right? Think of looking for something that is lost, right? Think of a deliberate, concentrated effort. Think of Winston Churchill, 1941, never give in, right? Think of priority and purpose. All of which leads the scholar R.T. France to write, the language of priority, which underlies verses 19 to 24, is now again made explicit, in 19 to 24, I think last week, is now made explicit by the call to make it your priority to find God's kingship and righteousness. The verb zeteo echoes the stronger compound verb epizeteo, which was used for the Gentiles' quest for material provisions. Disciples, by contrast, have a different orientation, a higher purpose in life. And in ways similar to last week, right, Jesus juxtaposes, he contrasts. There is a way of life, an approach, an attitude, an orientation that is all about running after money, stuff, possessions, what you will eat and drink, what you will wear. A life that is focused, preoccupied with, consumed by all these things. A life that begins to constrict under the pressure. There is that way of life, right? Miriam now. A life consumed with worry, or what author Earl Nightingale calls the fog of worry. According to the Bureau of Standards, a dense fog covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet is composed of something less than 1 glass of water. Let me say that again. A dense fog covering 7 city blocks to a depth of 100 feet is composed of something less than 1 glass of water. To which Nightingale writes, if all things most people worry about were reduced to their true size, you could put them all into 1 glass also. According to Nightingale, 40% of the things we worry about will never occur. 30%, for a number of reasons, can't ever be changed. 12% of the stuff is petty and miscellaneous, and only 8% of what we worry about would be considered legitimate. In short, he says 92% of worry is pure fog with no substance at all. There's a story of a doctor. He was paralyzed, bedridden, but also outrageously cheerful. His smile was said to be so radiant that everyone who met him forgot to feel sorry for him. Even his children adored him, and when one of his boys was ready to move out and move on and kind of face the stuff of life, this doctor said to his son, he said, Johnny, the thing to do, my lad, is to hold your own end up and to do it like a gentleman. And please remember, the biggest troubles you have got to face are those that never come. There is that way of running after, right? Miriam now, focused, preoccupied, consumed, full of worry, much of which is pure fog, and the biggest troubles which never happen. And there is a way of life, an approach, an attitude, an orientation, Jesus says, that is all about seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. A kingdom, a way, a path of righteousness revealed all over the scriptures is here and now present in Jesus. A kingdom, a way of righteousness that is present whenever and wherever we see care and compassion offered to another. Whenever and wherever generosity and kindness are extended to those in need. Whenever and wherever someone who has two coats shares with one who has none. Whenever forgiveness is offered, wherever reconciliation is found, whenever hope is offered to the oppressed, wherever a voice is heard on behalf of the voiceless, there is a way of life, Miriam now, an approach, an attitude, an orientation, a running after the stuff of this world, and there is a way of life, an approach, an attitude, an orientation that is all about seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. Keeping in mind, this is a matter of priority. It isn't that food and drink and clothing have no importance, but it's a question of priority. In Luke 10 and 38, Jesus, His disciples, come to a village. A woman named Martha, she opens her home to them. And in verse 39, we read, she, meaning Martha, had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, Jesus answered, you are worried, Miriam now, focused, preoccupied, consumed by, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. That can be translated the good portion, as in Mary has chosen the good portion. Mary has chosen what is better. Mary has chosen the good portion. We can think of what is the first, as in priority. And, Jesus says, it will not be taken away from her. Right? Again, there is a way of life, Miriam now, an approach, an attitude, an orientation, a running after the stuff of this world, and there is a way of life, an approach, an attitude, an orientation that is all about seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, and really the question is, which one do we choose? Which one do we choose? We could ask it like this. What are you running after? What are you seeking first? Right? Are we oriented toward all these things? Or are we oriented toward His kingdom? We could ask it like this. What place does worry occupy in your life? And maybe to think, what would it look like in that place, whatever that place of worry, what would it look like in that place to seek first His kingdom? What would it look like to seek His righteousness? What would it look like to seek His righteousness in that place? Which one do we choose? Right? Is my life oriented toward all these things? Or is my life oriented toward His kingdom, toward His righteousness? We could ask it like this. What is receiving the better or the good portion in your life? What is receiving the better, the good portion in your life? We could ask it like this. What is getting first priority? What is of first importance? What is receiving the better in your life? What is receiving the good portion in your life? What is getting first priority? What is of first importance? There is a way of life that runs after the stuff of this world, and there is a way of life that seeks first His kingdom. Which one do we choose? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the love and grace with which you invite us into your kingdom. And God, in a world today where there's all sorts of stuff for us to worry about, all sorts of concerns, and yet in the midst of that, you invite us to another way, a way that seeks you first, that seeks first your kingdom and your righteousness. That seeks first this way of a healthy eye, a good eye, a way that offers care and compassion, generosity and kindness, forgiveness and reconciliation, that brings hope. May we be a people who seek you first, who seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. I pray that would be true for each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.